chapter 12, verse 7 says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall the end of these things? What shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Now I'll stop there just for a short review, that as Daniel saw the last vision and we're told that everything's going to be accomplished in that time period called time, times, and a half of times, that the Antichrist, the king of the north, will scatter the people for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then these things shall be finished. And then when Daniel asked for a little bit more information, that we're told that in verse 10, that many shall be purified, made white, and tried. And we talked about that being the purpose of the tribulation. And that none of the wicked shall understand. And the wicked are just going to follow the Antichrist, but the wise shall understand. And we were looking at the verses that ended last time about he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. People that have open hearts and ears to hear to believe what God said. Interestingly, I just share quickly that this week Larry had a phone call. A guy wanted to argue. I think he watches our website. And then so Larry says, "Okay, I'll be in later and I'll call him back." And so anyhow, he called me, I called him. Anyhow, it took me a while to realize that the guy really didn't have a question about our website. He just wanted to argue. And he's of a denomination that they don't like take the 1,000 years literally, but they also don't take grace literally. They have works for salvation. And so it didn't take long for me to talk to him, but what I kept saying to him is, the problem with you don't believe the Bible. And so we talked about how Christ is going to come back, if there's going to be reigning 1,000 years, and then eternity after that, and oh no, that 1,000 years don't mean 1,000 years. And so I just kept repeating to him that he doesn't believe his Bible. And the reason I say that here is, they that be wise shall understand. He that has ears to hear and a heart that's open to believe what God has to say. The wise, we already talked about them earlier in chapter 11, how they're going to understand what's going on, and they're going to try to convert others, but they're also going to be martyred. And that's about the being made white and all so forth. So those that have ears to hear, I keep thinking, and I've shared with you several times, Matthew 25 and verse 15, where it talks about the abomination, and it says, "He that readeth, let him understand." So people are going to be reading the Bible, and when they believe what they read in the Bible about the abomination of desolation, they're going to realize where they are in the tribulation, and they're going to have understanding. And so the wise shall have understanding. So when Daniel asked, what shall these things be? Well, that's the purpose of all that tribulation and how it's going to end. But then you get a little different, you get additional information in verse 11. And it says, "From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." So all of a sudden we're given some more time. So this is what I thought we'd do, is a little review of the time schedules that we've been learning in the book of Daniel. That'll go away in a second. So just the most basic things that we've learned when we studied the book of Daniel, whether it was from Daniel chapter 9 or even here in verse 7, we realize that from the time that abomination takes place, which is in the middle of the tribulation, to the end, is going to be a time, times, and a half of times. Time, singular, times, that's two, so that's one plus two, and then a half. 3.5 years. We could say 3.5 years at 30 days in a month under Bible timeline is 1,260 days. You could read in Revelation chapter 11 about how Israel, Jerusalem is going to be overrun of the Gentiles 42 months, 3.5 years. We learned from Daniel chapter 9 that there's going to be there's going to be 69 weeks, and then finally the Antichrist is going to show up, sign a treaty with Israel at the beginning of the last week, and that a week is 7 years in that prophecy in Daniel. So we know that the last days is 7 years long, divided by 3.5 and 3.5, or 1,260, 1,260 days. And right in the middle, in the midst of the 7 weeks, or the 70th week, is the abomination of desolation, where the Antichrist sets up the image of himself and orders the world to worship him. So that's the most basic outline of the future tribulation, the things that Daniel was seeing in here, and matches what we just read in verse 7 of Daniel chapter 12. But then, take your Bibles, go back to chapter 8 of Daniel, because we played with this one. We learn a little bit more detail. Daniel chapter 8 in verse 12, it says, "And a host was given unto him against the daily sacrifice." Now this is the prince that's coming, the Antichrist. "And a host was given unto him against the daily sacrifice." So Israel's going to be sacrificing again, and he's going to put an end to it. "A host shall be given to him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it shall cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?" Now notice those three statements. You got the daily sacrifice, then you come to the abomination of desolation that's going to take place, and then they're going to be trodden underfoot, as I already quoted, Revelation chapter 11, 42 months. And it says in verse 14, "And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." And so when we studied that, I had a different chart up there at that time, but we realize that we're looking at a little bit more detail than what we first learned about the tribulation being 7 years long, divided by those two halves of 1,260. So if the tabernacle, or if the temple is going to be cleansed at the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the question about the sacrifice and then the abomination and then the city being overrun, we know it's overrun 1,260 days. So if we keep backing up and we take that first 1,260 days and divide it, that there'd be 220 days until the sacrifice begins. And then what's left in that first half is there's 1,040 days that they're going to be sacrificing until the abomination is set up. And then they're going to be overrun 42 months, 1,260 days, to the end of the tribulation. So when we looked at that, we realized, if we understand that correctly, that would explain what the 2,300 days is. But now, come back to Daniel chapter 12. And it says, again in verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away," now not when it began, but when it's going to be taken away, "and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." So from the time the sacrifice is taken away until the abomination is set up, and then to the end, is going to be 1,290 days. So we were looking at 1,260 days, and now we're looking at 1,290 days. So that tells us a little bit more information. That tells us some information that not only is there going to be the 220 days into the tribulation, they're going to begin to sacrifice. Then they're going to sacrifice 110 days until the abomination is set up. Until the sacrifice ends. And then there's going to be 30 days between the end of the sacrifice and when the abomination is set up. Because you got the 1,260 days at the end, but there's now an extra 30 days, 1,290. Now, there's two ways that people look at this. Is that extra 30 days go back to the beginning and actually tell you there's a month between the end of the sacrifices and the abomination? Or is it at the other end of the last 1,260 where after the tribulation there's another 30 days? And some people, don't forget there's going to be some things that come back. We've already talked about the resurrection that's going to take place after the tribulation is over. Does that 30 days cover that time? Does it cover the time where the nation of Israel is going to be judged and the Gentiles are going to be judged whether they go into the kingdom? Is that in the 30 days? Or how about when you read the book of Revelation or even other prophecies, there's going to be a great slaughter at the end of the tribulation. In fact, let me do it backwards from my notes. Come over to Luke chapter 21. It's not yet. Luke chapter 21 is about the second coming of Christ after the tribulation. But actually, in Luke, it's different than Matthew. Go back to chapter 17 of Luke. This is where he makes the statement that you'll be familiar with from Matthew 24. But I want you to see it here because it answers a question. It's left open in the book of Matthew, but it's answered in the book of Luke. So, in verse 34 of Luke 17, the Lord says, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Now, when you read that in Matthew 24, he just went through the tribulation and he tells them to watch. And then he warns them the very same thing you're reading here about two in one bed or two in a field. One will be taken, the other left. And in the ignorance of people who don't rightly divide, and I don't mean ignorance in a put-down, they're just ignorant of the fact that they don't realize that Matthew 24 has nothing to do with the age of grace. Luke 17 has nothing to do with the age of grace. It's still a mystery revealed that's going to be revealed to Paul later on. This is the Lord's earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. And when you read about one taken and the other left, if he's coming to set up the kingdom, do you want to be taken or do you want to be left? You want to be left. I shared with you, I believe it was last week, where we were talking about the purpose of the tribulation is to rid the people of this earth that are against Christ, to wipe them off the earth, to take them away. In fact, I just shared this I started realizing John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. That word perish ever bother you? It didn't say die. It said shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The people who are going to perish are the unsaved from the world because he's coming to set up his kingdom. And I shared with you last week, I know it was last week, how the lost are going to be taken away from the earth. Now, in case you didn't follow that, when he got done talking about, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, one shall be taken, the other left. Interesting verse 36. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. That wherever they're at and whatever time zone they're in, because you realize some people are sleeping and some people are in their fields and some people are grinding. Are you at night? Are you in the middle of the day? Are you in the evening? Anyhow, that there's going to be, one's going to be taken, the other left. So verse 37, and they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, hither will the eagles be gathered together. The ones being taken away are going to be taken away in slaughter, and the eagles are going to come and eat their flesh. They're not going to be left to go into the kingdom. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And that's saved into the kingdom. So that you realize they're going to be taken. Now the point is if the 30 days is at the end of the tribulation when the Lord comes back, because he's got to come back after 1,260 days. Those days are not going to be shortened. So he comes back and there's an extra 30 days. Is that when the eagles are going to be eating these bodies? Well, come over to Ezekiel chapter 39. Maybe start out in 36. I'll give you a little outline of Ezekiel here, or this portion of Ezekiel. Start in verse 37, or chapter 37. I just read you the first verse. It says, Ezekiel 37, verse 1, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me into the in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which is full of bones. And they're going to be asked, well, can these bones live? And he's going to see the bones live. There's the resurrection unto life that's taking place. He's going to see. Some people just make it spiritual as Israel being restored as a nation, but I think why not just believe what it says? He's seeing the resurrection. People who are dead coming to life. Their bones coming, got flesh and everything. You can read that chapter. When you get to chapter 38, this is the warning of the battle that's going to take place of Gog and Magog. Verses 2, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them. Look down in verse 5. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, with all with the shield and helmet, Gomer and his bands, the house of Tugama, of the north quarters, and his bands, and many people with thee. Now I know I shared with you from what most think the 10 nations of the Antichrist are listed out in Psalm 78. I think that's the chapter. But when I look at this list, you're looking at the king of the north. That's Russia up there, Gog and Magog and Meshach and Tubal. And then you start naming all these other cities here. You get over to verse 13, Sheba and Dian and the merchants of Tarshish, all with their young lions. It has to do with the grouping of the nations and what chapter 38 is. God's going to kill them. They're going to come up against Israel and God's going to slaughter them. So when you get over to chapter 39, here's the judgment upon those nations that are come against Israel. It says in chapter 39, verse 1, therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn my back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, there's the king of the north, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and cause thy arrows to fall out of the right hand, and thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee, and I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to devour. So, That matches our prophecy in Luke, right? That here God's going to slaughter them and the birds are going to eat their flesh. We'll jump over to verse 12. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying them that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renowned the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land, to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when they seeth a man's bones, then he shall set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hemagog. My point is, how long are they going to be burying the dead? 7 months. We're only trying to deal with 1 month, not seven at the end of the tribulation. That when the Lord comes back, there's going to be such a slaughter that it's going to take a long time to cleanse that land by burying all the dead bones that are on that land. So rather than thinking that the 1,290 days has the extra 30 days at the end of the tribulation, I think it goes the other way. So go back to Daniel, which is the book after Ezekiel. And again, look at verse 11. And it says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away," and we've already learned from our previous study, it's from this one, from there's going to be a time that the sacrifice is going to begin. But now we're talking about the time that the sacrifice shall end, and then it says, "And the abomination set up," and then bringing that to the end is going to be 1,290 days. So comparing that to what we looked at from Daniel chapter 8, it looks to me that the sacrifice begins 220 days into the tribulation. It ends 110 days later, the sacrifice ends, but there's 30 days then that the abomination is being set up and finally comes into effect in the middle of the tribulation, and then there's 1,260 days until Christ comes back. So rather than putting it at the end, I move it forward an extra 30 days and tells me when the sacrifice is going to end. Because it's got to end, right? Because the abomination is going to replace it. So there looks like there's an extra 30 days there, and that would explain what we're reading about here in the 1,290 days. Now we get to verse 12. "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,300 and 5 and 30 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." So Daniel's given more timetable here, and we just figured out perhaps what the 1,290 days is. And then he says, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days." 1,335th day. Now, if you have 1,290 days, that's an additional 45 days. "And blessed is he that waiteth," another 45 days. And so the question is, what are those 45 days? Well, we take everything that we had put together. And I reminded you that, or I already said it, that some people think the 30 days is at the end of the trib. Well, in that 45-day, now that's not 7 months, but in that 45-day period, we do know from already in the book of Daniel there's going to be a resurrection of the just. And we know from Matthew chapter 25 that the nation of Israel is going to stand before the Lord and give an account of their service, and the faithful servants are going to give an cities to control, because they're going to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. So Jesus Christ comes back. He then brings the nation of Israel. There's a resurrection. He brings them before them. It's what I call their judgment seat of Christ. Ours is at the rapture. But they're going to be judged and given places of authority in the kingdom. Then you read also in Matthew 25 that the nations are going to be gathered together before the Lord and divided into sheep and goat. The goats are going to go into everlasting fire. But the sheep get to go into the kingdom, and they ask, "Why are we going in?" He said, "Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me." They ask, "When?" He said, "When you did it to these, the least of my brethren, you did it unto me." The Gentile nations that protected and blessed the nation of Israel get to go into that kingdom. But for the Lord to bring all them nations together and judge those nations, and perhaps even separate within the nation people that are sheep and goats, is going to take some time. So when I look at the 45 days, I realize there's a resurrection that's going to take place. There's the judgment of the nation of Israel that's going to take place. There's the setting up of the kingdom, the Lord's kingdom that's going to take place. There's the which Gentile nations get to go into the millennium for 1,000 years in natural bodies. Israel's resurrected and glorified. And so there's a 45-day period for all that to take place. And we come to what I would call the inauguration of the kingdom. The Lord is getting the kingdom in order, setting it up, who's going to rule, who's going to reign, who's going to be in, who's going to be out. And then, well, come over back to me to 1 Kings chapter, no, is it 2nd? No, it's 1 Kings chapter 1. I get how Samuel and Kings begin. Anyhow. First Kings chapter 1. Now, I just tell you ahead of time, David is dying. And he's promised that Solomon is going to sit on the throne. But, what's the guy's name? What's the brother's name? Anyhow, one of his brothers usurped the throne as soon as his dad was dying. It told, got the people to follow him when it was supposed to be Solomon. So Bathsheba goes in to David and kind of, we got to get this settled before you die. Who's going to be the king to replace you? That's what this is about. So pick up in verse 32. It says, and King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. And the king said unto them, take with you the servants of the Lord and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there over Israel. And blow ye the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. By the way, he's riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, or into Gihon there. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ when he rode the donkey into Jerusalem, and the people declared, "The son, blessed be the son of David." And others said, who's this? But anyhow, verse 35. Then ye shall come up after him that may come and sit upon the throne, for he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, amen, the Lord God of my Lord the king, say so too. And the Lord hath been with my lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David. And Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule, and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent for the sound of them. So there is a public announcement of the king. We read in Zechariah that the Lord's going to get off the horse, that he comes, the white horse, and he's going to walk down the Mount of Olives and enter into Jerusalem, and he shall be king, anointed king over Israel. Well, I'm thinking that the great inauguration day is called that blessed day, because there's going to be a time where he's going to judge and set up the kingdom, and then I think 45 days is the inauguration of the kingdom. We now finally enter into that blessed time. And there's two things I want to show you right here in Kings. Come over to chapter 10. And this is a picture. Solomon is now reigning. And in his reign, the Queen of Sheba comes and sees, she's heard so much about Solomon and his reign. Don't forget, the Gentiles, after Jesus Christ sets up the kingdom, are going to come and present themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says in verse 8, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, that they may hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king and so forth. The whole point is there's this inauguration, and then people recognize, the world recognizes the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what I think takes place after the 45 days. And one of the reasons for that, come to Matthew chapter 5. Great to see you, Leon.
Hey, how are you?
Now, in case you don't have Daniel held, I want to read that verse again. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, and thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." So it looks like the end of the days that Daniel will stand in his lot is at the end of the 1,335 day. But that day in verse 12 is called, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. They're called blessed. Well, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. We call this the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "And seeing the multitude, he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him." A mountain in your Bible does represent a kingdom. And here they recognize there's Jesus Christ speaking from the mount, and it's a symbolic of Jesus Christ in his kingdom talking to the nation of Israel. And what does he say? "He opened up his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Get an idea, this is a blessed day? Blessed is he that cometh and waiteth till the 1,335th day. Why? Because they are going to inherit the earth. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say unto you all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." The blessed day. The Lord's coming back, and he's going to judge them. And those that get to go into the kingdom, they're going to come, and it's going to be a blessed day. And Daniel is going to stand. You see Daniel there? There's little Daniel rejoicing because he came to the 1,335th day, and he's part of the blessed that are going into the kingdom. And that's the promise that the book of Daniel ends with. So anyhow, at the end of the Daniel, we have those extra time periods, and that's what I think is taking place, and how that the tribulation is broken up as we study the book of Daniel. Now, I got some other things to say about Daniel, and more devotional, and in the few minutes that we have left, I'm not going to take the time to do it today. We'll do it next week. But I do want to tell you, after next week, the Sunday, we were talking in an elders meeting, it looks to be that in a month or so, Pete is going to become the adult Sunday school teacher. He's got to find someone to take his class first, so if you're a volunteer, let him know. But then he's going to become the adult Sunday school, especially since now I'm preaching every Sunday, except for when I'm away. And before that happens, I've been promising on Wednesday that we're going to have a question and answer session. I forgot to do it. I have a pack of 3x5 cards that I'll sit back on that back table back there. And it'd be better than rather than just taking questions from the floor, and we will do that. We'll be a little bit loose in our Sunday school as far as that is concerned. But if you have a Bible question, or if you don't even have one, you just know you used to have one, take one of those 3x5 cards when I finally get them set out. Maybe I can do it between service. And And then write your question out, because it'd be better if I knew what your question was ahead of time. But anyhow, we're going to take a few weeks and just deal with question and answer session, not just on prophecy, but any question that you have on the Bible. Because sometimes the teacher is teaching and he doesn't really know where everybody's mind is and what they're struggling with. And it'll be an opportunity to deal with those questions. So that's what's coming up in Sunday school. And I guess the streaming people heard me, so you have to mail it in to gbcsaints@att.net. And we'll deal with your questions as well, although I get those questions all the time. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you again for the book of Daniel and the things that we've seen. We speculate here about the 1,290 days, about what that extra 30 days is, which end of the tribulation to put it on, then the extra 45 days to come to the 1,335th day. But I think, Father, that the Scriptures give us some insight, and we've tried to put it together. Pray that if it's true, it'll be sealed to our minds, and if it's wrong, that as we continue to study, we'll get more light. But we thank you for the opportunity to study things to come, as well as we focus on weekly the day we're living in today, in the day of your grace. Thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.